My favorite definition of love is giving someone the power to destroy you and trusting they won't use it. I came across that statement or that little phrase when we were thinking about this seminar and thinking about the vulnerability, thinking about the close connection. It just struck a chord with me. And it's what we see a lot in our world, and we're not free from it in our churches as well. When there's such a close connection, such a deep connection, there is potential. But when there's love and cherishing, that would feel good, just kind of snuggle up right now. It's kind of cool in here, right? You can come take my place if you want, because you'll warm up here, I guarantee you. But a close connection can be so special and so dear because God designed it. Empowered to love. It comes from God. Cherishing means to hold someone or something dear, treating it with tenderness, protection. It is an attitude, a mindset, and deep, ongoing emotional and spiritual affection. And as I thought about cherishing, I also thought about celebrating. Cherish and love are two emotions that are often used interchangeably, but they have a distinct meaning. Love is a deep affection or attachment to someone or something, while cherish is to hold someone dear and to protect and care for it. Love is often associated with romantic feelings, while cherish can be applied to any relationship or object that is valued. Celebrating means to honor an event, person, or milestone with a specific act, such as a party, ritual, or formal recognition. And I believe we came together as couples to celebrate marriage this weekend. I really believe we did. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Stand with me as we read this passage. I'm going to start reading in verse 21 to verse 33. Ephesians chapter 5. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow our heads before you, the Almighty God. Thank you for this passage of Scripture, and I pray your blessing as we look at this, guide and direct our thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture, we see the comparison between Christ and the church and a marriage. Often we hear this passage used at a wedding or talking about marriage, but it's also talking about how Christ views the church. Marriage is likened to Christ and the church in Ephesians 5 here. We see the relationship between husbands and wives laid out. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. How much did Christ love the church? He gave himself. He gave his life for the church. That's how we are to love our wife. And then it says husbands are to love their wives as their own bodies. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. We take care of ourselves. When something hurts on our body, we take care of it. And that's how we're supposed to care for our wife. And I just love how Scripture has such simple things. Even children can understand this. But sometimes we grapple around this and try to, well, how do you love your wife? How do you... Well, just ask them if you don't know. I think you know. Just like you care for yourself. And then it says that the man is to leave father and mother and be joined to his wife. And it's the same way with church. We are to leave the world system. And we're to cleave to the church. Christ is the head of the church. And it says that Christ is continually at work to cleanse and prepare the church for eternity. He is tender and patient. He is committed. He's interceding on our behalf to the Father. He's nourishing. He's cherishing. He sustains and he protects. His love is so deep. And his identification with us so real that he views the church as his own body. Ladies, don't you enjoy when your husband views you as his own body and cares for you in that way? And I believe that's what this scripture is calling us to. And I believe that's really the meaning of love and cherish. You know, all of us here, except for a couple of those on the back row, have made these promises that we're going to love and cherish until death do us part. I want us to think about, I was trying to wrap my mind around, I mean, they're connected, but I think they're different. I think love is a commitment. I have committed to love my wife, and I can tell my wife every day, I love you. Does that mean I love her? It should, but does it?
Not necessarily.
But when I begin to cherish my wife and I do things to match my words, she knows I love her. And I think that's the difference between love and cherish. It's putting love into action and assuring our companion that what I say, I mean, because I live it. Gary Thomas, author Gary Thomas, in his book, Cherish, suggests that as love is known in 1 Corinthians 13, so cherish is revealed in Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon. Love can be seen as committed and putting up with a lot, whereas Song of Songs, or the Song of Solomon, cherish enjoys and delights a lot. Are you delighting in your marriage today? I know you are. I can see it in your faces. And that's such a blessing. Such a blessing. And I think that's God's intent. God actually said in Isaiah 62, as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He looks at us with joy. He's rejoicing when he sees we're at peace. It makes him happy. Last Friday night, I had the opportunity to meet a young couple that came up to me and they said, we just were again refreshed. We met you at Penn Valley 8 years ago, and their faces were radiant. And they just wanted to make themselves known to me. Blessed my heart. I said, you know, I can see that you are so happy together, and it just blesses my heart. And their faces got better yet. But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we meet people and you can just see they're just shining. It's so encouraging. But think about how God our Father, when he sees his people enjoying what he has created and designed and just basking in it and delighting in it, I can just imagine he just smiles and just rejoices with us. The Bible says he rejoices with us. It is important to note that cherish and love don't compete, but they rather complement each other. A cherishing mindset looks like this. I accept my spouse as having flaws, and I delight in him or her. Ernie shared this morning that we all have parents. And I think we would all agree that our parents haven't done everything right. I don't stand before you this morning as a parent and claim to have done everything. I know I haven't done everything right either. My children need to learn to forgive me too. But you know, I'm convinced, and I believe this from the bottom of my heart, when we forgive our parents, we can use those faults as stepping stones instead of pulling us down and become better. I believe that's God's intent. You know, we learn from life experiences. And if we can forgive our parents and learn from their mistakes, I think it goes to the next step, then our children, it makes it easier for our children to forgive us, and they can learn from us. Do you see how this just flows? It's just how God creates things. He does things so well. cherishing views growing old together with positive anticipation. I have heard some people bemoan the fact of getting old and stoop-shouldered and aches and pains. Well, it all depends on what you're going to focus on. There's a lot of blessings in getting old together as well. There's a lot of blessings. It's true. You're going to have some aches and pains. But you know what? That reminds us that we're not here to stay. We're seeking a better country. Let's view it that way instead of, oh, life is tough. It's so hard to get out of bed in the morning. Cherishing has the attitude, I am here to get it right, rather than being right. I'm here to get it right, rather than being right. This way of thinking and engaging our spouse can be challenging at times, yet this mindset can help cultivate intentional growth. Cherish, protect, and care for someone lovingly. Love meets the need. Cherish tickles the tongue. Don't you enjoy tongue tickling every once in a while? Just feels good. I think you know what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Love is about being gracious. Song of Solomon 4, verse 10 says, how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine? Cherish is about being enthusiastic, enthralled. It's better than wine. I'm not a wine drinker, but good drinks, okay? Better than a coffee or whatever you want to put there. Love tends to be quiet and understanding. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Cherish boasts boldly and loudly. I cherish my grandchildren. That's why I was pretty boastful and loud. Song of Solomon 10, 5, verse 10. My beloved is white, dazzling. That's what that word white means. And ruddy, rosy. The chiefest among 10,000. Cherish boasts boldly and loudly. I do have the best wife here, in case you didn't know. Love puts up with a lot. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things. Cherish enjoys a lot. Song of Solomon 5:16a. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Love is about commitment. Love endureth all things. 1 Corinthians 13, 7. Cherish is about delight and passion. Because of the savor of thy good ointment, thy name is as ointment poured forth. In Song of Solomon 1, verse 3. Love and cherish never compete. They complement each other and complete each other. Thinking about cherish as celebrating. I believe that God celebrates His church. I want you to think a bit with me. What is more joyous than a church wedding? It's a happy time. And I believe God is celebrating in those times. When a church shares communion together, a celebration. When a church shares a baptismal, young people or people coming into the church, a celebration. When there is someone that is ushered into eternity from the congregation, it's a sad but joyous celebration. You understand what I'm saying? As Christians, we have a tremendous gift of salvation. Life really begins at death. Well, no. Life begins at birth. We have fun here. We have a good life. But I think you get what I'm saying. Eternal life begins at death. But it's a tremendous blessing that God has given us that gift. We want to live here. We want to live here. But I think it's a gift that God has given us. We're not just looking to die. But you know, we do have that hope when we die. And so in a sense, it's a celebration. It's sad for us that are left behind. But it is a celebration. And there's probably other things that... But I thought about those things. And so, as we think about Christ celebrating His church, why should we not celebrate our marriages? And I know it. There's different ways of doing it. But celebrate your spouse. Some years ago, we were here at Penn Valley as a couple, quite a number of years ago. And there was a young couple here in January. I think it was January. Ernie can probably relate this better because it's his sister. By September, they were separated. By death. They're still a very special... I mean, God has worked redemption in the whole story, and she is still a very special couple. Well, she's married again. They were here last fall, and they are a very special couple to us. 5 ways to cherish your relationship. Value, number one, value your spouse. Number 2, be thankful and grateful for your spouse. Number 3, compliment and affirm your spouse. Number 4, be captivated by your spouse. And number 5, be gracious with your spouse. And that's kind of what we went through in the Song of Solomon, and being captivated and being gracious. God says that He made us in His image. In the image of God created He us, male and female. Created He us. Psalm 139:14 says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Exodus 19:5, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. I believe God looks at every individual and puts value on every individual. We are here for a purpose, a specific purpose in His kingdom. As long as we're living, we are here for a specific purpose. And we are special in the eyes of God, so why should our spouse not hold great value? Because they are put there by God. Be thankful and grateful for your spouse. Never take your spouse for granted. Proverbs 5:18, Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Your spouse is your lover, your best friend, your lifetime partner. To experience the best of times and the worst of times together. When you marry someone, you are in effect promising that you will be the person's greatest fan. We are together for the worst of times. We are together. Last night we heard a story of, our daughter and her husband the last year. We all have a story. Ernie shared his story this morning. We all have a story. We're here to go through things together. I'll share you just a little window of our life, way back. And I was reminded of this story this morning. Ernie and Vera were sharing something in the our little speaker lounge down there. Quite a number of years ago, 31 years ago, my wife and I experienced what it is to be together in a new way that we hadn't experienced before. We felt alone, but we were together. And we walked this journey together. Our son was born, and there were some complications. We thought he was going to die. And I remember, I don't know if I can say it, but I remember so clearly, we were in the hospital. We just needed some alone time, but together. And we went into a bathroom, and we just cried. And we gave up our son. Said, Lord, if it's best, you can take him, but we would like to keep him. And he kept him. The Lord kept him. We still have our son. But I remember also when we were going out to the hospital, my wife and I, we were driving through the local town. And I remember looking at my wife and I said, everybody's world is just going on. Ours has stopped. But it hadn't. God saw it all. And it was a good time for us as a couple. I don't know what your story is. We all face those times. But my encouragement is stick together. That's what marriage is all about. Stand together. Be captivated by your spouse. Proverbs 5:19b says, be thou ravished always with her love. And this word ravished means enchanted, enthralled, fascinated, mesmerized, and impressed. When we were dating, that was our language. Right? You remember? But I don't think it should stop there. I think it needs to continue right on. I can see you agree with me. I can see the smiles. Let's just keep that going. Don't quit dating. Keep right on going. Be captivated by your spouse. First Peter 3:7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's a loaded verse. Do you ladies like that verse? The Bible says you're the weaker vessel. Is that okay? I'm usually simple enough to just take Scripture the way it says it, and I was thinking this morning, maybe you can help me out. Does the Bible ever tell the ladies to honor their husbands? Can you think of a scripture? I was dissecting this verse, and I'm not sure that it does. Here it says we're to honor our wife as the weaker vessel. And then I looked up this definition, and I don't consider my wife as my weaker partner. She has strengths that I don't have. But there is something about the way God designed man and woman, and really what this verse I looked up, and I liked the definition that came out of this verse. It's basically talking about the women are designed and are made more delicate. And I like that. Where men are a bit rougher, and strength goes hand in hand with a bit more roughness. And if you study the differences between men and women, that's really how God made us. And as I thought about what attracts young ladies is the strength of the man. But what attracts men is the delicacy of the woman. And so I believe that's what this verse, and as you put delicacy and strength together, you have a beautiful picture of the heart of God. And then he says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know your wife. You heard yesterday morning how to do this. Just talk. Just talk. That's how you get to know each other. It's very difficult to get to know someone if there is silence. You miss out on a tremendous amount. Three ingredients for cherishing your spouse. Number one, enjoy. Just enjoy each other. Number two, gratitude. Be grateful for each other. And number three, celebrate. Celebrate each other. As I looked at these ingredients, it came to me, you know what? I believe all these ingredients are a choice. It's a choice that we make. We choose whether we're going to enjoy our relationship. We choose whether we're going to be grateful. And we choose how we're going to celebrate. Cherish all your happy moments. They make a fine cushion for old age. Let me read this again. I like this. Cherish all your happy moments. They make a fine cushion for old age. Ladies, this is how, just some tips how to cherish your husband. Tell him you love him. Respect him. Pray for him. Surprise him. at times. Don't go too extreme, but sometimes surprising. Yeah, I'll share this. My wife surprised me a little over a year ago. And she promised me never to do it again. It was just about more than I could handle. But it still made me feel good, made me feel special. For my 60th birthday. If you want more details, you can ask her or ask me, I don't care. Spend time with him. Go with him. Just spend time with him. Take care of him when he is sick. Oh, us husbands get so sick when we're sick. Just take care of him. We just love it. We just need somebody to care for us. Leave him a love note. Or love notes. Encourage him. Tell him how much you admire his leadership. And thank him for providing for you and the family. And be on his team. Let him know that you are on his team. Okay, ladies, I will quit. Now I'm going to go to the men, okay? So you can relax now. Men, tell her you love her. And ask her opinion. Give her flowers. Kiss her goodbye when you leave the house. Look at her when she talks to you. And listen. Dry her tears. Hold her. Open her door for her. Tell her she's beautiful. Brag about her and compliment her. Leave her a note. Give her a break and pray for her. Play with her hair. Have eyes only for her. Catch her eye in a crowd and wink at her. Not to be mushy, just catch her eye. Even after many years of marriage, the sparks can just flow through you. It's love and cherish this relationship. For us as a couple, kiss for no reason. Be available for each other. Plan dates. Wink at each other. Have fun together and laugh often. Just be happy. Let's stand for prayer.